Hello and welcome to our first ever Saturday podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. Be totally honest with you, stealing this from Colin Cowherd. Here's why I want to start doing this, guys, and I want some feedback from all of you, our loyal listeners and readers at CycloneFanatic.com. So it was last weekend, I was doing a ton of yard work, redoing my deck. Had a lot of mowing to do, just catching up on stuff, as many of us do during nice spring weekends. And I noticed something that was kind of annoying to me as a consumer, something that I don't really think about a lot of times as a producer, and that's that podcasts generally fall off. There's a lull over the weekends where you're not getting a lot of fresh pods. So I guess my idea here is that the one thing that I did have that was fresh was Colin Cowherd was doing one. He's doing a Saturday podcast every week now, and I thought that was interesting, and I enjoyed it. It gave me about 20 minutes of something to take in. Wasn't long. His aren't long. These probably won't be either. They will probably evolve over, you know, the next couple of weeks and months. Probably have some guests. Probably a lot of them will just be me wrapping up the week in Iowa State athletics, giving some opinions and insight. So give me some feedback on this if you guys like this, and I'll obviously be looking at the download numbers as well to see how popular they are. But I would like to get this going to be a new weekly podcast for us here at CycloneFanatic.com, just to give you guys something to chew on. You know, maybe you're going to mow the lawn on a Saturday morning, or you're going to go out and run some errands, and you want something to listen to that is Iowa State Cyclone related. So here we are. Hey, if you want to sponsor this, you're on it as well. You can do that. Hit us up. Anyways, top topic for me today is Iowa State and the NFL draft. Obviously, the draft going on right now. Now, I'm recording this. We're recording this about 1 o'clock on Friday afternoon, so I don't know what's going to happen on Friday night. Going to take a stab, though, that no Iowa State Cyclone will go on Friday night. I don't think an Iowa State Cyclone gets drafted this year. Perhaps Jamal Wiltz will be a guy in the 6th or 7th round that somebody would take a flyer on. I doubt that happens. So we're going to go off of that assumption, and I'm going to say no Cyclones are drafted for the 3rd year in a row. Now, my friend Randy Peterson at the Des Moines Register did the following research earlier this week for a column. That's 3 years in a row now where Iowa State will not have a draft pick. The last program to do that, to go 3 years in a row, was Kansas between 1988 and 1990. Here's another one. Every opponent on Iowa State's 2017 schedule has had a draft pick since Iowa State's final last draft pick, who was Jeremiah George, in 2014. Now, this is not, pardon the cliche, this is not rocket science. You win two, three games a year when you don't have top-of-the-line talent. Iowa State has not had top-of-the-line talent. This is a really good stat that just proves that. So, what's next? I think the draft streak ends next year for Iowa State, but to what, you know, to how much? Is it just Alan Lazard? Who else goes? I did some digging, made a couple calls, guys in the coaching staff who work with these guys every day. A lot of the feedback that I got did not surprise me. Some of it did, and I went well beyond 2018. I asked some guys, again, this is all off the record, not putting anybody's names on it, but that's why they're also able to give me some good, juicy information, which I found this to be, a lot of this stuff to be interesting. This is the text I sent out, wanting to do a piece on Cyclones who might get drafted the next couple of years. I've got Lazard, Campos, and Cotton Moya. Who am I missing? First of all, I think Lazard is a third or fourth round pick, depending on what he does. Speed and quickness are going to be an issue for him, but he's mature. He's got size. He has a lot of good things going for him as well. Lazard will absolutely snap that streak for Iowa State next year. There's no doubt in my mind. There's two other guys, and I've got injury asterisks next to both of them, Jake Campos and Kamari Cotton Moya. Cotton Moya is a dude who very early in his career, he was kind of thought of as a can't-miss NFL guy for Iowa State. I remember they really wanted to play him as a true freshman, blows out his Achilles tendon. We all remember how good he was as a redshirt freshman, but he can't stay healthy. He plays with that reckless style of ball, and he continues to injure himself. That will be a factor when NFL teams evaluate Kamari Cotton-Moya. He's a bit of a tweener to me. I think Jake Campos, as long as he can prove that he can stay healthy this year, Campos is probably an NFL player, at least a backup here in a couple of years in the National Football League. But I've got both of those guys as tweeners. I don't think it's locks that either one of those guys go. Looking ahead past that, these are some names who were really given to me as guys who Iowa State thinks will potentially play in the National Football League. This one encouraging, Ray Lima. I got texts back from two guys. Ray Lima was on both of the lists. He's a guy when he committed, I remember, and this is, you know, and a lot of times guys, when guys commit, they are overhyped by sources. I do remember a guy telling me when Ray Lima committed that he'll be in the National Football League in a couple of years. They believe that strongly about him. So that's encouraging. If he's really that type of a player, it means that he'll likely have a future in the NFL. But he'll not only that, but he'll make an impact for Iowa State. Chase Allen's a guy who was mentioned to me by two sources. DeAndre Payne as well, a guy who will possibly be in the NFL. Brian Peavy was mentioned by one of the two. You got to think that his size would potentially be problem, but he's for lack of a better phrase, he's a total badass. So that's possible. Hakeem Butler got two shout outs. Hakeem Butler, the redshirt sophomore wide receiver. I like him this year. I feel like he hasn't gotten enough play. I don't think he got enough play in the spring. I really think Hakeem Butler could be a special player, not only at Iowa State, but of course his size. What is he right here? I got to pull it up. 6'6", 210 is what he was listed at right now. He's a guy. Another one. Now, this one surprised me. Matthew Eaton, the JUCO wide receiver. Iowa State's so loaded at wide receiver. I don't know if loaded's the word, but they're deep. There's a lot of options there. He often forgot about it. He was dinged up during the spring, so we didn't see or hear a lot about him. They believe in him. Tongamoa, the JUCO defensive tackle, he was brought up to me by one guy, as was another player who was brought up two times was Julian Good-Jones on the offensive line. A lot of belief there that he could develop into a guy, as is David Montgomery, the running back. He was a two-man deal. Now, here's what's interesting, and I forgot to get to this early, and Willie Harvey as well. But there is a thought. Both of these guys said the exact same thing about Joel Lanning. They said, let's see what he does because of Joel's mentality, his overall athleticism, knowledge of the game, all that stuff. They think that he could potentially sneak his way into the end of next year's draft. They really believe in him at linebacker. I can't wait to watch this unfold. I'm not a believer yet. I think it's really hard to play 4 years at quarterback, snap your fingers, and go and play middle linebacker in the Big 12. That's incredibly difficult to do. However, if there's one guy I've covered who I think could do that, it's probably Joel Lanning. He's had that linebacker mentality ever since he was in high school. He's a wrestler, for crying out loud. So, my apologies for forgetting about him. Jacob Park was mentioned. Now, I think this is a long shot, but one of the sources said, hey, let's really wait and see what he does because he hasn't had the time to show what he actually can do. Let's see what he does with a full year behind him. And last but certainly not least, Sean Foster on the offensive line. Jaquan Bailey as well. I probably should mention him. Those are all guys. Now, I know you're probably thinking, some of you as well, you just named every young player on the team. Kind of, but not really. These are just guys who have shown that potential in the weight room, on the field so far during their career. And most of the time you see that and you go, if this guy can do this, 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 and this, he could end up in the NFL. And that's certainly the case with these guys. You can't so if you look at Thursday night in the NFL draft, 22 of the 32 prospects taken were four or five stars out of high school. So you know, that tells you a lot right there just about how important not only recruiting is, but then you have to develop. And I think the previous staff, you know, when we look at this drought, this 3-year drought, I don't know how terribly they were recruiting. I don't think they developed guys very well. I think that was the biggest problem with the Rhodes era. And I think you saw that early on with some of those Chizik guys. They had a lot of pure talent. They didn't necessarily get a lot better throughout, but they were still good enough to get drafted. The Kelechi Osemele's of the world, the Hayworth Hicks, Reggie Stevens, those guys still had a cup of coffee in the National Football League. Of course, Osemele is still in there. He's one of the top offensive linemen in the league. But I think you guys know what I'm saying. If you've watched enough of Iowa State football, they didn't develop them. Recruiting them is one thing. Developing is another. And I think they recruited some really nice guys. Iowa State has some of the young guys who I've named off. Now, let's see how they are developed. Are they developed into National Football League players? We shall see. Saturday podcast here, CycloneFanatic.com. Want to give you guys a little bit of a heads up, too. There's been a lot of discussion on the forums this week, and really anywhere you look on Twitter, anywhere, the ESPN layoffs. I don't want to get into the aspect of that, but I do want to talk about just our business a little bit here at Cyclone Fanatic. We're feeling a real crunch as well. I've talked about this, I've written about this on the forums for a while now, and I want to give you guys an opportunity to know what's coming. We're not going to a subscription-based site. Don't worry about that. All of our content is always going to be free here at Cyclone Fanatic, like we have vowed from day one. However, I mean, we're feeling a crunch, guys. When we used to get like a $1, $2 CPM for specific ads, now we're getting 13 cents. Do the math. We've got 4 employees. It's really tough right now. So we're going to have a couple of options here in the coming weeks and months for you all to support the site. Again, there's no you don't have to. You can still read it for free. But we're going to have a Patreon model. We're basically, you can donate to the site every month. If you like what we're doing, you can donate to the site every month, and it's going to go towards keeping the quality the way it is. It's going to go towards that, and it's going to go towards not having to have as many garbage ads up on our website. We have to get creative here, guys. Just being brutally honest with you, we have to get really creative here. It's Cyclone Fanatic. So we're going to do that. We're going to have a model where you can pay to not have ads. I know the ads are annoying. Not the local ones. The local ones are fine. They don't cause problems. It's those third-party ads. We're trying to limit what we have to do with those. We're trying to make your user experience as good as possible. I've been bunkered down in my office for the last 2 months trying to figure this out, the best way to do this. We want to continue to employ our great content team. We want to still be able to have Psycho and Fanatic radio shows on 1460 KXNO, 5-6 podcasts a week. We want to be able to do all of that. We just have to get creative and figure out better ways to do that. And so the Patreon, you guys can keep a lookout for that. I'll be communicating with you as we go. And then we're going to have a couple of subscription-based models. One will be the ad-free portion of the site. I don't know what costs are going to be yet. I need to do the math. The last thing I want to do is make that too low and then have us lose money, because that would obviously make the problem even worse. And then we'll offer something else. We want to make it worth your while. We're not doing this to take money out of your pockets to view our content. We want our content to stay as strong as possible. We want it to be free. That's my goal. It always will be my goal. But we also have our bills to pay too, you know. And the thing is, ESPN made a bunch of terrible business decisions. The fact that they're paying $15 million a year to view Bevo taking a crap in the pasture for the Longhorn Network. I mean, it's a terrible business decision. There's no other way around it. Look at the rights fees increases. They made bad decision after bad decision. That's why they're where they're at. However, the crunch comes all the way down to the smallest of small media companies, which Cyclone Fanatic is. And we're feeling it too. The digital landscape is just absolutely brutal right now. But we're putting together a game plan. We're going to do the best that we can for you guys. Hopefully, too, you have noticed some improvement with our site over the last week. We've completely changed our entire ad platform. There are fewer ads on the site. We're getting things honed in. I know that there have been a few issues throughout the week, but we are we're constantly working on it, constantly monitoring that. It should be better. I mean, I've been looking at server speeds and page speeds, and everything has increased dramatically, or gotten dramatically better, I guess I should say. I hope that you're feeling that as well. I mean, if you go onto your mobile, notice that there's only like two ads on the entire mobile site. That's another thing. When you talk about CPMs, and I know that I'm above your heads, but why you get paid less, it's because mobile absolutely kills the publisher as far as revenue goes. And that's really evolved here over the last 2-3 years. So we have to find ways to monetize. We will. We have a lot of smart people working on this. But I just wanted to give all of our most loyal, and if you're listening to this on a Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, you're a very loyal reader, subscriber, listener to Cyclone Fanatic. I want to give everybody a heads up before we go ahead and do anything. And I'll get very detailed, a very detailed report before we move on. Thanks for listening, guys. I really, really appreciate it. Hopefully next year, the NFL draft, Iowa State will be in a better situation. I hope you enjoy the Saturday podcast, too. I know it's not long. It's not very dynamic. I hope it's something, you know, that can, you know, kind of secure that Iowa State. It'll tickle your Iowa State funny bone a little bit. They'll get better as well. We'll have conversations. I'll have guests, stuff like that. This is kind of a spur of the moment deal that I just decided to do this week, and we'll make sure the production's better here in the future as well. Thanks for listening. It's an ugly weekend here in Central Iowa. It's cold, a lot of rain. Get some stuff done indoors. Have a great weekend. All the best to your family. So long.